This is the second Tuesday of the month in March 2016. And here we are. Looks like we've got a lot of people on and a lot of people still coming on. How is everybody doing?
Great.
Good.
Extra awesome.
Outstanding.
Great.
Good, good, good. That is awesome. So here's what we're going to do. I am going to, let's see, I actually had a question submitted earlier. You guys are all supposed to be getting emails on the day of to see if you would like to ask a question. You can submit it. And this is my first day with the Inner Circle. Just wanted to say hi. There's your question right there. Dee Dee Ashley, I hope you're joining us. So that's good. That's great. No question. Just wanted to say hi. All right, cool. So anybody have a question you want to jump in with?
Well, you have a lot of static right now.
Okay, I'm going to hang up, and I'll dial right back in, and I'll see if that's any better. And it may be me. It may not be me. I don't know. But I will hang up and dial right back in and see what happens. So I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's better already.
Hey, this is Larry. Is this any better?
The real Larry Gold.
Yeah, it's much better.
Good, good. Well, we're having a bad storm here in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. And
oh,
I'm looking out my window at my home office out over the lake, and I can see the water because it's lightning here. And,
whoa.
So, yeah. Anyway, here's what I would like to ask you guys to do. If you are not asking a question or actively participating, please mute your line by dialing *6, I believe it is. We'll mute your line. And then if you'd like to ask a question, you can press *6 again to unmute the line. So if you're not talking, if you're just sitting back listening, to keep the static and noise down, please press *6. That way I will not have to mute everyone. So without further ado, anybody have a question you would like to jump in with? Now that everyone's got their line muted.
Larry, this is Linda Smith in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. This is my first Inner Circle call.
Woohoo! Congratulations and welcome aboard.
Thank you. I do have a success, but now you're asking, I do have a couple questions.
Sure, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, they're specific. Now, I'm having some difficulty. One of my homework assignment is to find some FSBOs on Craigslist or online. And when I've gone on there today, maybe I've just not worked with Craigslist a lot, but anytime I pull up a certain website or anything, it asks me to, you know, to do a trial membership. It doesn't give me the addresses or anything. So what am I doing wrong? Is there
You're
something?
On the wrong website.
Okay.
If you go to Craigslist.com, CRAIGSLIST.com, it is a free site.
Okay.
Any site that is asking you to sign up and pay a monthly fee, they are hijacking traffic from other sites. Just like, I'll give you a quick example. You can go to HUDHomestore.com, and that's HUD's official website where every HUD in the United States and U.S. territories is posted for free. However, there's other sites out there that with similar names that have HUD in the name, but they want to charge you a monthly membership fee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're asked to pay a monthly membership fee just to search for properties, then you're on the wrong site.
Okay. All right. Well, yes, because I Googled it. I do remember you giving us that website at some point.
Yeah.
Or maybe I read it, yes. Okay, well, I'll do that then.
Good. That sounds
okay.
Great. Well, good luck with that. Did you have another question while you're talking?
I do. In the Filthy Riches, you refer to houses, dog with fleas, and three ones, I think.
Right.
A three-bedroom and one. And we talked about the 25,000 or, I mean, 30, well, what was it? Anyway, then you do give a condition that now we're actually looking at those that are 40,000 less.
Well, yeah, I think I mentioned that if you want to, because of the way the market has changed and prices are moving on up, you can go from 30 to now 40,000. In fact, myself, I typically am looking at, because I don't only do Filthy Riches, I do higher price deals as well. So I also search 50,000 or less.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my coach is having me do. And I'll give you my success. I made an offer today.
and he sent me your information.
That
you had made your first offer. You were scared to death, but you did it, and he was so proud of you, and I think that was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
After years of studying real estate and everything, you finally made your first offer. I thought it was awesome. He sent me your message.
Well, I had a home that I purchased and rehabbed, but I had not made any offers to like this. So.
Right, on the seller finance deals.
So I'm excited.
That's great. Well, congratulations. That is awesome. I'm really excited for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Who else has a question? Come on now. I know somebody has a question. Oh, you got to unmute your line. That's probably what it is.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Agnes. This is
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Agnes, and I'm totally new to this. We just signed up and paid and got into it, but we are, like, having a really hard time. So I was trying to figure out, like, what is the advantage of being under this group, and how are we supposed to get, like, do we get, like, hands-on training? Because we've been looking at houses, we've been looking at properties. We did our license already, our LLC, and all of that, but we just don't know which way to go right now. It's just
okay,
like,
and what was your name? I'm having a little trouble understanding you, but what was your name again?
Agnes from Orlando.
Agnes from Orlando, good, good. And when did you sign up for our inner circle?
I want to say maybe 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, are you supposed to be coming to my office, or are you on the phone? Supposed to be working on the phone, or what?
I don't even know. We don't know.
Who is your business advisor in my office?
Our advisor was Melissa.
I'm sorry, who?
Melissa?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will have Melissa call you tomorrow because, quite frankly, I don't have any of your records or anything in front of me, so I'm not sure if you're coming to my office or if you are going to be doing it over the phone. Did you guys not talk about that?
We do it over the phone, and then we were thinking about coming to the office, too, because then we'd be able to get more better hands-on because, like,
right.
Over the phone, it's not really working for us.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, I'll have her reach out to you tomorrow, and explain to you exactly what it is that you got and what to expect. You should have got something in the mail by now. If it's been 2 weeks, now I know that you know that we've been out of the office and we have an event coming up and all that. But you should have. And actually, Melissa, she was out of town for a few days. Last week because she had a funeral she had to go to, family.
But we have a coach named, Nathan, so I don't know if that's
Oh, well, there's your answer right there. You have a coach named Nathan. Nathan is our head coach, and he gets on the phone with people, you know, on a regular basis. You're going to have regularly scheduled calls. So you and Nathan have already scheduled or already had a call or have calls scheduled, correct?
Yes, we have.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So, but you're still confused as to what it's about or what you get?
Yes.
Okay. What part are you confused about?
I mean, it's a whole lot of stuff, I guess, because we already set up an appointment to talk with them tomorrow, so I don't want to tie the line up. So.
Oh, okay, you have an appointment to talk to him tomorrow, and tomorrow's your first call.
No, we have many calls already, but we're just trying to figure out directions on what to do, you know, get more hands-on and really get this ball rolling.
Okay, so what has Nathan asked you to do so far?
So far, he had us to look for, you know, compare good properties and bad properties. We did that. We went online and we did that, and plus last week drove around, looked at some properties and everything.
Okay.
But we were told that.
I can tell you this. I've had many coaches over the years working with my team, and Nathan is the only coach I have ever had on my team that, number one, I've never had a complaint about, and number two, I get testimonials from his students every single week. So Nathan is going to help you get your first deal closed and then help you create a system to close deals on a regular basis, okay? But I will make sure that you're on the call, and it sounds like you might be a little confused, so I'll make sure that they reach out to you, okay?
Okay.
Excellent. Sounds good. Thank you very much for your comments and for your business. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Rock. Kelly out in Lexington, South Carolina. How you doing?
Lexington, South Carolina. What's up?
Oh, man, everything is great so far. My question is that I just wanted to know, what is the best way I could get funding? I got good credit. My credit is about a 720 and a little bit above that, maybe 740 or so between the three credit bureaus.
How's your debt ratio?
Wow. It's good because that's what brought it up when I brought the debt ratio down.
Okay, do you have a pen handy? Do you have a pen handy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, write this down.
Okay.
Get realestatefunding.com. Have you heard about that yet?
Is that the, what's it called? Oh, my goodness. I think I heard about it, but is the C Capital?
Go check it out. Have you applied?
No, I have not. Is that the C Capital program?
Yeah, I
tried that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what kind of deals are you doing, and how much funding do you need?
Well, I just needed funding for the deals because, you know, I had like transfer like high balances that I had from my old, and that's pretty much took up the balances with my C Capital program.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm doing a 50 Filthy Riches deal, but when I'm making offers to different realtors, they're asking for a bank statement with the proof of funds, and I just wanted to know what type.
You don't have to do a bank statement. You could do a proof of fund, and you could just do a Google search of transaction funding. And transaction funding proof of funds. And there's plenty of places out there that will give that to you. And you can also go to sites like Prosper, PROSPER.com.
Okay, Prosper. Okay.
Lending Club, LENDING Club.com.
Club.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. There's a lot of those, what's called, peer-to-peer lending sites or micro-lending sites.
Okay.
There's a lot of those out there, and those are probably the biggest ones.
Okay.
And those could probably help you. Did you get approved with Seed Capital?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So you got some funding from them.
Yeah, it was about maybe 50,000, but, you know, a lot of that, with balance transfers for my old interest rates that I had that was really high.
So you were able to get your interest rates lowered?
Yes. Oh, yeah, a lot lower. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Zero, just an APR. Before it was like almost 30%, 25%. Uh-huh. So that's good. So it's a lot easier to pay off those high balances that I had, you know, when I had the high debt ratio. So kind of like
smoothed
it out. That's good.
There's another one out there called Patch of Land. PATCHofland.com. There's real estate crowdfunding. And there's iFunding. the letter I funding. There's fund rise, RISE.
Crowdfunding.
Yep.
Real estate crowdfunding.
There you
.com.
Go. That's it.
And then what was the other two that you said after that?
I fund.
iFunding.com. Okay, I got
yeah.
that.
And what was the other one here? Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. iFunding and Patch of Land and Fundrise. FundRise.
FUND?
FUND, as in fund.
Okay.
Rise, RISE .com.
Okay, fundrise.com.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to check those guys out.
Yeah, check those out. But there's always,
okay.
you know, like, you got a RIA group or two down there. Go down there and get you some private money.
Okay. Yeah. I just became a member of one of the RIA groups in Columbia, and there's another
good,
one.
Good.
Yeah,
we got
yeah,
deals all over there, Columbia, Lexington.
Oh, yeah?
I'm looking at some houses down in some of those small towns down there, Wagner, Gaston.
Yeah, that's not too far from me. I know where that's at. Okay.
Yeah, I buy a lot of houses in those small towns.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, we had four closings last week, and so now we're down to 20 deals on the board.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. Now, those deals, are those on your Investors Rehab website?
Do what?
In Lexington, those houses that you have, are those on your Investors Rehab website?
No,
the ones that you have
on the
Lexington?
Investors Rehab website because my Investors Rehab website is the site that I use to wholesale houses.
Okay.
And I very rarely wholesale houses anymore. So,
okay.
I mean, a few, like we're wholesaling one right now. But
okay.
We primarily owner finance houses, like the Filthy
okay.
Richest bottle, and then houses a little bit more expensive. And we
okay.
use neighborhoodhousinggroup.org to do that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I wanted also to ask another question. What about the, now, with the inspection period, what is a good inspection period for dealing with a realtor, you know, like the due diligence once, you know, I get it under contract.
About 15 days, typically.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, I'll write that down, 15 days. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much, Larry. I greatly appreciate it. Wow.
No problem at all. It's my pleasure.
All right.
Excellent. So who else has a question?
Hello, Larry.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Amandi. This is my first call.
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm great. I also joined the Inner Circle recently. My mentor is Nathan.
Yes. The man, the legend, and the myth.
Sorry?
Nathan is a great guy. He's going to really help you out.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. He's pretty awesome and extremely knowledgeable. And he's just an all-around, he's very relatable. You know, you can just have a straightforward conversation with him, so it's pretty awesome.
Absolutely, he's really good, yes.
Actually, he got me huge advice to join a RIA group, and I joined that. The meeting is next month, and he told me, no, that's too far along, that I should look for other RIA groups and just visit them. I don't need to join those ones. And
yeah,
I
you
followed
might be
up
able
with
to
that.
Find another one.
Yeah, sorry?
You might be able to find another one. What market are you
in? Yeah, I'm in Houston, so I'll be able to find a couple other ones, and I'll be visiting one tomorrow.
Yeah, there's several of them out there.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty excited about that. He's been able to get, and I'm brand new to all this, the whole real estate investing. So he's really helping me out by telling me like, things like RIA group, from what I understand, most investors will know to join RIA group, but I didn't know about that. So, and I haven't even created an entity yet. I guess my challenge is because Nathan's level is up here, and I'm brand new without any idea. There's no, I guess no baby steps for me.
Yeah, don't you worry. You're brand new, but get in and buckle up and hang on, because we're going to walk you through everything step by step. Nathan is going to work with you and just take you step by step so you don't get overwhelmed. He's really good at working with people that not only are very, very experienced and have done a ton of deals and helping them get to the next level, but probably his specialty is also helping people who've never done a deal be able to take one step at a time and get their first deal in the shortest possible time and work with them right through the whole process to buy it and sell it and put the money in the bank. And that's going to change your whole life. It's going to change your whole outlook. You're going to be blown away as soon as you get that first check put in your bank account.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. But I guess my thoughts are, I guess with me, we always have to step back. We might be talking about a couple other things and realize you don't have a RIA, or you need to go back and we need to go and get a RIA. I mean, I guess my question is, aren't there, like, laid out steps or advice for someone brand new like me where we could, like, go through, and if the person already has them, let's say the person is a little bit more experienced, then they can check those things off their list. But like a checklist of things someone is supposed to have at this stage instead of finding out, I guess, during the mentorship that, well, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have an entity. Well, mm-hmm. I guess if there are things I would have known ahead of time, I will be able to follow up with them so I can be on the same page.
No, listen, let me tell you something. You may not have an entity right now, but quite frankly, just about everybody I know has done their first deal, at least their first deal, sometimes their first, second, third. I think my probably first 5 or 10 deals was in my own name. Now, is there a chance something could happen? Yeah, it's probably rare, but there is a chance something could happen. But I know many, many, many people that did their first deal in their own name. So you don't have to have an entity set up. You can go set up an entity. You can hire an attorney to do it, or you can do it yourself with the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely up to you. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to have an entity set up to be able to do your very first deal. What kind of model are you wanting to do? Are you wholesaling, or are you owner financing?
No, I'm in the Filthy Riches as well.
Filthy Riches model. Well, you know, that's all Nathan does is Filthy Riches model. That's all he does. He does a ton of his own deals, and that's all he does. And plus, that's all I do as well. We're doing owner finance deals. And Nathan's even probably doing, you know, cheaper houses than we are, quite frankly. And so yeah, man, we're going to be able to help you get that first deal. If you don't have a realtor close by, if there's not one you can go to, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Don't worry about it. You know, you'll be able to get up and running very, very soon.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Tim Evans in Houston.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. Well, first off, I would like to say to the gentleman that was just on the phone, I don't know if that's something you have any experience with, but there's something called Meetup, like Meet and then Up.
Right.
And that's what I've used here in the Houston area to find several RIA meetings.
I think he's actually in Houston also, right?
Yeah, he is. So that's why
I am.
I know there's definitely more than one. There's several, and the way I found them is through this meetup .com.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you.
That sounds great. Yeah, I should have mentioned there's not only RIA groups, but there's a lot of meetups as well.
Okay, so Larry, my question is, do you have any specific advice on how you can improve your negotiating skills? Do you know of any, like, good books I could read or guys I could try to follow? I think maybe my problem is I'm an engineer, and I tend to maybe be too analytical and stuff. So I'm wondering, I mean, I definitely know I can improve in the area of negotiating, and I just wanted to see if you got any advice on that.
Yeah, well, I can't think it really kind of depends on what you're, if you would give me a specific situation, I could tell you how to handle it, or a specific type of dialogue you would be having, but just saying, you know, help in negotiation, that's a very broad question. That's like asking how much does a car cost?
Okay. All right, so the negotiations that I'm doing are actually initially over the phone, but then afterwards it's a lot through email. And so I guess the first question is that a good thing, or should I just keep trying to do it over the phone? The reason I'm using email is because I've noticed that some of the people I'm in contact with, they tend to do better when I'm emailing them. And then the second question would be, is it okay to let them just hang a little bit? And because I've always tried to really respond fast and communicate clearly on the next steps that they can expect and all sorts of stuff. But sometimes I'm wondering if it's maybe better not to communicate as good and just let them, you know.
Exactly.
Let them make some more steps.
Right. Well, I really think. As far as negotiating, it's much better to negotiate over the phone than by email. Anybody can read a tone into email. They don't know if you're being sarcastic or you're being negative or what in email. So as far as negotiation, I would say over the phone is the best way to do it. Are you talking about you're negotiating with sellers?
Yes.
I would say over the phone is much better than email, in my own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And honestly, I think also the one of the reasons I tend to use email more than the phone is because I'm new to all this, and I think when I'm emailing, I have more time to pick my words more carefully and, you know, let it just sit for a while and then revise the email, you know, that kind of
thing. I'm with you. That's good. There's nothing at all wrong with that. When I'm trying to do something by email, you know, I think about it and draft it and look at it and let it sit a few minutes and, you know, or a little while and look at it again. So I totally get that. I really do. But there comes a time you're going to need to learn to think on your feet.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the easier it will become.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'm going to try to stick to the phone a little more often.
And listen, if you have a specific situation that comes up, write it down and email me and say, here's what happened, what should I have said?
Okay.
And I'll tell you.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Larry.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
Hey, Larry. This is Patty Barber from the Asheville area.
Great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm going through your Hard Money Millions course.
Excellent.
Yeah, it is excellent. I'm really, really enjoying it.
It was two years in the making.
Yeah, I can only imagine there's a lot of stuff in there, and I'm going to be
there, though?
Yeah, I'm going to be working with Nathan as well.
Awesome.
So that's great. I have a question about LTV.
Okay.
In the book, it said, I think it said, if you were doing, like, say, I'm doing 70% LTV.
Right.
Minus repairs. So I'm thinking, like, oh, if you had $100,000 and it was 70%, it'd be $70,000. And then if it was minus repairs, say the repairs were like $20,000, it would be $50,000 that you would be loaning?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got it correct. But, so in other words, if your LTV is 70% of the ARV, and the ARV is $100,000.
Yeah.
So the loan would be no more than $70,000. Now, you know, they could determine, you know, or you could determine how much you wanted to go to the purchase price and how much you wanted to go to repairs.
I see.
But either way, if they were paying 50 but the repairs were 25, you would only loan 20 of the repairs. They would have to come up with the other 5 themselves.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, but it would be no more than 70 including repairs.
Okay. So it's including repairs. So I'm just reading it backwards.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
And look at it again, because maybe I said it backwards. I don't think so, but if I said it backwards, let me know what page it's on, and in the next printing we'll change that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Awesome. I hope that helped.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Good.
It definitely did.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's you know, that course is flying off the shelves now. We've got a lot of people interested in that, and there's a lot of ways you can make money in the hard money business.
Yeah, I'm really amazed at how much detail there is to it.
Oh,
you know, and a lot of good stuff. Having done some fix and flips myself, and not been able to get hard money, and then being able to get with a hard money lender. It's like I knew a little bit, but it's like, you know, it just puts everything into great perspective.
That's good. Well, I really appreciate your feedback on that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay. Great.
Thanks. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
Hi, Larry. This is Ben Bala from Milwaukee.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I joined the Inner Circle just recently, and my mentor is Nathan. Sorry, I missed your last seminar due to snow.
Oh, wow.
My flights got canceled back in January. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
We had about 80% of the people show up, even though we had a snowstorm in Charlotte, which we only have about once or twice a year anyway. So it seems like they always happen whenever we plan an event in January.
Yep. So I'm very much excited. I think I sent my profile to Nathan. I'm also one of the guys like studied various courses and got confused. I'm referring you one of your slides.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're
talking about.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, the one of the slides with so many courses.
He will definitely keep you on track. And he's got a tremendous amount of successful students. I get testimonials forwarded to me every week from him. So you're in good hands.
Yep. I have two questions, Larry. Like the first one is regarding the Truya heat maps. I know like if it is a green, it is a good area. Sometimes it shows orange, sometimes it shows red. I know red is a bad area. So if it falls in the orange, we have some good deals in Illinois. So what is the decision making in that spot?
Well, okay, just to clarify for everybody else, what he's talking about is if you go to Trulia.com on your subject property, about halfway down on the right-hand side is a green map. And if there's red, that's where the crime areas are. And if there's a lot of red, then you want to stay away from it. So your question is, how much red is too much, right?
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm seeing some orange kind of the fading between the orange and green.
I wish I could tell you, you know, how many rapes and murders were too many. But, you know, and that's a bad way to put it, but, you know, that's really kind of in essence what you're asking me. You know, so I would here's what I would do. You have to use your own best judgment. You also have to look at what are you going to do with this property. For example, if you're buying a property and you're paying $150,000, $200,000 for it, and it's a fix and flip, you're fixing it up, you got to get a retail buyer where somebody's going to have good credit, go get their own money, or they're going to pay cash, and then want to want to find out what school systems it is in and everything, mm-hmm. you've got to be a lot more selective in the neighborhood than if you were buying a mm-hmm. rich's house to own or finance it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I have bought and sold houses in red areas. I bought and sold houses
okay.
in orange areas. Okay? So,
okay.
But just look at it. Talk to some realtors and ask
okay.
them, you know, hey, if I sell this house, am I going to have trouble selling it because of the area? You know, I'm seeing here, it looks like there's a lot of crime here. You know, would you be able to sell this house for me? What do you think about that? And see what they say, and as well as looking at the heat map.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, Larry. Yeah, I think so far I have not talked to realtor, but when I do the due diligence, it's coming up the orange color. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And I know.
And then
I mean, there's a lot of areas in Chicago that are orange like that, but you just have to
yeah.
look at it based on what are you going to do with the property, what's the price range that you're selling it, are you owner financing it, or are you selling it retail. That's other things you got to look
okay.
at to determine should
okay.
I pass or should I keep it.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep. Yes, Larry. And my next question is, this is related to kind of getting a finance. So that's one of my big bottlenecks for me. And I know like I'm kind of asking my friends over here and they're all in my same salary range. So they're all having their savings and they're just saving for rainy days. And if I go to the RIA group, if I ask some private lenders, sometimes I feel kind of, hey, like I have no experience in real estate, but I can tell the doctor's story, which I learned from one of the boot camps. But even then, I do not know how to kind of put forward myself.
Okay.
So what is your best advice, Larry?
Well, here's what I would say, okay? Here's the best thing to do, all right? If you're
okay.
talking about like going to the RIA groups.
Yes.
What you want to do is you want to find out who in your RIA group is borrowing private money. Now, I will tell you this.
Okay.
They're not going to, like for example, say you meet somebody named Bob, you know, and you know, hey Bob, how do you get your deals funded? I use private money. Now, Bob's not going to tell you who his private money lender is, okay? I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
But if you can ask around, you know, hey, who's using private money in the room? You know, or get to talking to people
mm-hmm.
and networking, you know, and maybe to try to kind of swap lenders or something, you can ask who's using private money. So now, once you have two or three people that you know use private money, all you got to do is get their business card from them. You know, hey, let's swap
mm-hmm.
business cards. Maybe we can do some business. Okay, so say Bob's business is Bob Flips Houses, LLC. So you go down to the courthouse
mm-hmm.
online and you look up Bob
mm-hmm.
Flips Houses, LLC, and you look up any properties he's bought, and then you look who the mortgage holder is, and there is your private lender. And if the private lender would loan him money, they'll loan you money.
Okay. Okay.
Now, you can go, you know, like say Bob's private lender is,
mm-hmm.
you know, Fred Funds Deals, LLC, okay? So
okay.
you look up
okay.
Fred Funds Deals, LLC, and at the Secretary of State, and you get the mailing address, and you find out who
mm-hmm.
the registered agent is, and you look them up in the phone book or on the internet, and you get their phone number. If you can't get their phone number,
okay.
then you just send them a postcard and say,
okay.
hey, I noticed that you were loaning Bob Flips Houses money
mm-hmm.
to do deals.
Okay.
I do the same thing,
okay.
and occasionally I have a need for some additional funds. If you would like to be
mm-hmm.
added to my list of private lenders, please give me a call and we can discuss future business opportunities that would be mutually beneficial. See, that way
okay.
you're not begging for money.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, Larry. Yeah.
Good. How's that sound?
Yep. Yeah, good. I think, yeah, I jot it down there. I think, yeah, you are telling a kind of stuff, not paying the money, kind of go indirectly find the who the lender from their properties. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. That's a
it.
Good idea.
And that'll work.
Yep.
That
okay.
will work.
Okay, Larry.
Excellent. Well, good luck with it. Let me know how it turns out, okay?
Yeah, sure. I'll keep you posted. I think I'm going on our next meeting is on April 12th.
Oh, good.
So with the RIA group, I think. One more question, I'm with the Milwaukee RIA group, and I know the Nathan suggested me to go one more RIA group. Is it something, should I need to go to the bigger city, next bigger city, or?
It just depends. Are you able to get everything you need at the group you're at?
Mm-hmm.
If you are, then there's no need for it. But if not,
okay.
then you might want to go to the next one over.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good. Well, good
okay.
luck with it. Let me know how
yep.
it turns out.
Sure, Larry. Yep.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. Steve Barkley. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, doing good, man. I got a few questions for you.
Sure, man. By the way, Corn is going to call you and set up a time for you and your son to come by the office.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd like to kind of get, we were trying to download the HUD thing. I think we finally got it, but there's a lot of stuff, I guess previous stuff that you put on there, having to erase it all and everything. Is that normal?
it's probably just data that we put in there. Just to show you what it's going to look like and what kind of information goes in that field.
Oh, okay. Because some of it was blank, and I'm not the world's greatest Excel user either. But
yeah, me either, man.
I figured around it.
Me either, man. I'm with you. I feel your pain.
Yeah, but a couple of questions I had in using number one in the analyzer. Is it cool or is it a bad idea? I'm kind of, you know, once I run these numbers, use the rent analyzer and everything to run these numbers, I'm kind of feeling like they're coming up around 60%, and I'm a little bit lazy, and I just wonder if I could use a 60% figure versus running all the, the numbers and the comps and everything.
Are you talking about for seller financing deals?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I would skimp on that. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, I haven't been skimping on it, but I have been putting 60%, and I'm like, man, this is just so much easier. But I am running the, running it through the
game wall. You've got to be able to sell it with a payment that's comparable to rent.
Right, which brings me to my next question. If I remember correctly, when you were going over this stuff, the rent analyzer, let's say that the rents in a particular area are $650.
Okay.
Now, when you do the rent analyzer, to make up for the PITI, do you bring it down to equal, say, $450, $475, so you'll have a PITI at roughly around $650, or do you use that $650 not including PITI?
Basically, the rule of thumb is if the rent range is say $600 to $800 a month, I'm gonna take the low number.
Right, and that's what I've been doing. I've been taking the low number.
And
but what I'm saying is, like, let's just say it comes up. Let's say the low number comes up to $650.
The low number is $650. You're gonna base
yeah.
your payment on $650. Because if the low number is $650, the high number is probably gonna be $800.
Okay, so that $650 would kind of include the PITI then. Because what I've been doing is backing it down a little bit to make up for taxes and insurance.
No. Check it out, okay? Let me explain it this way. Let's say that the rents are $600 to $800 a month.
Okay, and that's on the rent-o-meter.
That's, or whatever, or the realtor
yeah.
tells you or whatever. So
right.
you're going to use $600 to figure the payment. So by the time your borrower adds taxes and insurance, their payment will be at the high end of the rent range.
Ah, cool. Okay, so I've been doing that wrong then, because I've been backing down and adjusting my number.
No,
like, just say it was 600, I would adjust my number to 400 and just guess another 200 for the difference. So I've been doing it wrong then.
Yeah, you don't need to do that because, you know, you want to be able to tell people, you know, payment's comparable to rent. And if you use the low end of the rent range for just the principal and interest, then by the time they add taxes and insurance, it'll be a little higher, you know, about the high end of the rent range.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, now I understand that a little better because I kind of been doing it wrong. So I'll get that adjusted. One of my other questions, it's kind of not related, but it kind of is related. I'm actually going to purchase a couple of computers and about four monitors. And I was talking to a buddy of mine and telling him what I was going to do, and he said, oh, man, you're going to need one of them super-duper computers. And I'm like, really? You know, because I'm not a computer guy. So I'm wondering, do you have yours built, or do you just best buy them?
Let me ask you a question. Does he sell computers?
No, well, he's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, okay, okay. Now,
yeah, he builds them and works on them and, you know, does all kinds of good stuff.
We just buy Dell computers. And sometimes we even buy refurbished computers.
Okay, so you don't really need. He's getting into computer talk. He said you need a bigger video card and blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
I thought I would pose
that question to you.
No, you're not going to be a gamer, man. It's not like you need stuff with all kind of high end graphics and all that to play video games. It's not like that at all.
Right, so just a midline computer at Best Buy would work just fine.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I needed to do because I actually wanted to get one tonight so Patrick could get rolling because he's working off a laptop and I hate working off a laptop, but anyway.
That's all I use is a laptop. I got a Mac. You saw it. I got
a
Mac and that's all I use. I don't even use an external monitor, but you saw all my guys in the office. They have two monitors. Everybody uses dual monitors.
Exactly, and that's what I was, you know, wanting to gear up for is put a couple of monitors up here so we can.
You can get monitors off of Craigslist. I probably got a couple dozen monitors sitting in the store in one of my storage rooms up here. We got anytime somebody needs an extra monitor, we just go in there and grab one. We just have a bunch of extra monitors.
I hear you.
Yeah, so I would just...
Well, I'll come over there and grab one then.
Yeah, there you go. I would just grab one off of Craigslist.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. That's what I'll do then.
Yeah, you don't have to spend big money on a monitor. But now sometimes, like when we order a computer, they'll have a special or something and it'll come with a monitor, you know. And, I mean, up until like a couple months ago, we had like two or three monitors brand new in the box that we'd had for, I don't know, maybe a year, never had been opened.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes you can get some deals, but check out Dell Refurbished, and they have a page just for refurbished stuff. And what the refurbished is, maybe somebody ordered a computer, but they sent it right back, so they can't sell it as a new one. But Dale goes through it and checks it out and makes sure that there's nothing wrong with it, but they have to sell it as a refurbished.
I got you. Yeah.
It could be somebody did was order it and decide they didn't want it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean there's something wrong with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just didn't want to have to pay a ton of money to get one that was super-duper fast if one, say, Best Buy or whatever would work, and I'm like, In my mind, I'm like, I'm sure Larry is not paying big money to get these computers built for everybody. He's probably just getting a regular old computer and you know, maybe the guy's misunderstanding what I'm telling him that
you're
I need
exactly
to do.
Exactly right. You're not doing anything fancy that you need. You know, you're not editing video or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
Or doing, you know, some high-level gaming, you know, on the Internet and stuff. You're not doing any of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well,
Larry, I appreciate it. I'll let somebody else get on the line if they want to, and I'll be back in touch.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. Anybody else have a question?
Yes. My name is Jamal Rose.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
I am doing great, thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I wanted to piggyback off of what the guy was asking earlier about, like, some type of guide to follow for people who are brand new at this.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, I mean, it's just seeming like, you know, it's like every time you talk, there's something that you missed, or not even that you missed, that just it's just something else every time, you know, okay, do this, and then next time you talk, it's, well, did you do this? And you say, nah, well, I didn't know I was supposed to. So I just want to know, is that the norm, or is this how it works, or what?
Well, let me just share this with you. When somebody's brand new, there's so much stuff that's overwhelming because you got to realize, I mean, you know, people like me have been doing this for, you know, almost 30 years, and there's no mm-hmm. situation I haven't heard before. So it can be overwhelming, and that's the reason a lot of coaches will tell you, just start with this right here. Start with this, do this, get comfortable with this, and then we'll move on to the next thing. Now, as opposed to saying, you know, well, you could be working short sales, you could be doing lease options, you could be doing subject two, just get the deed. You know, well, you got to be you're going to be a landlord, or you're going to flip houses, you're going to sell notes. You know, there's so many different things that you can do in real estate. It can get very overwhelming. And the thing that we've learned over the years is the more overwhelming somebody gets, the less likely they are to succeed. So we try to get people small wins to get them to that first deal and give them what they need to get that first deal done, get it bought, get it sold, get money in the bank, and that builds your confidence level right there. And that's what we try to do, because we got a finite amount of time to get people up and running and get them successful before they get burnt out and give up. And that's just the way it is. And that's the reason that we try to do things in the order that we try to do them, to make sure that we can help a person and not get frustrated and go out there and actually make money and see some wins and get some money in their pocket. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, of course, right, with the Orlando market, it's well, right now, I'm new, so right now it seems like finding deals in the Orlando market is kind of hard. Now,
well,
every
market is different.
Because
real estate is local.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder for you to find deals in Orlando than it is for me to find them in the Carolinas. And there's no question about that. But it's going to be easier for you to find deals where you are than it would be for somebody in Orange County, California versus Orange County, Florida.
Right.
Yeah, so it's all kind of relative in that sense. But, you know, there's really only a few simple things that you can boil this down to. Number one, you got to line up your money. Number two, you got to learn to analyze deals. And number three, you got to start making offers. It really literally is that simple. Now, there's a lot more steps in between all those. As you know, lining up your money, you can break that down into, well, you're going to apply for a loan, you're going to use private money, you're going to use cash partners, credit partners, you're going to use LLCs or trust or whatever, assigned beneficial interest. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do, and it can get overwhelming. So we try to keep it as simple as possible to get somebody up and running. And as far as analyzing, well, analyzing a deal, that could be very simple, but it depends on what you're going to do with the deal, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, we try to just keep it as simple as possible to help somebody get a deal, bought, sold, money in the bank, and that's going to really boost their confidence level. Not only that, it's going to help all the family members to be more confident in them too.
Okay.
Good. Good. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps.
Excellent. Good, good. I'm glad. Well, we appreciate your business, and I'm looking forward to hearing about your first deal.
Okay. Did y'all have – when is y'all next seminar? So I could, cause we want to make a trip to the to see how things are run down at the office.
Well, we have a Nothing But HUD event this weekend, actually. And then after that, I can't remember when our next event is.
Okay.
Yeah. But we do have a Nothing All But right. HUD event coming up this weekend. NothingButHUD.com.
Yeah, that's a little – I've been to that event, too. When you did it in Orlando, I was there.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. That's great. Well, good.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. We appreciate your business.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, this is Steve again. Hey, I got another question.
Sure, man.
Okay, the realtor I'm working with – she's pretty good girl, and she doesn't mind putting any of these offers and stuff like that. However, these houses, you know, a lot of the houses I'm looking at, I'm going straight to the agent that's on the HUD site or whatever.
Yeah, the list.
My question is, like on the HUD thing that we got, where you could go in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right.
If, let's just say that this starts out Monday morning and I make an offer, and then Tuesday rolls around and I make that next offer, are these people going to get tired of hearing from me, or is that the way it works? Do they realize that's the way it works, or you don't understand what I'm saying? Am I working them to death?
They don't know the difference. It's all a computer.
Right. I mean, I understand that, but what I'm saying is the agent, like, you have to call the agent, say, okay, I want to put another offer in. And then the next day, okay, I want to put another offer in.
No, you're not doing that. Remember, the number goes on the spreadsheet, and then you have a virtual assistant that you hire to work for the realtor who's going to do all the legwork for the realtor.
Oh, okay, so they don't mind giving out the NAID number then.
Well, you know, it's just like a couple people there at the office said, hey, they found a great agent that's letting them put in their bids and all that stuff. It might not, you know, every agent might not do that. You know, every agent might not do it, but you'll find one that will. You know, you're not going to be able to do it on the very first call, but you are going to be able to find one. You might have to go through a couple. One guy said he talked to 15 agents before he found one that would do it, but he found one that would do it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've got a real estate girl that I work with, you know, like for rehabs and stuff like that. I'm sure she would do it, but I thought we wanted to go straight to the agent. You know, like say on the HUDHomestore.com, you know, it lists the agent to the right side of it. I thought we wanted to put all of our offers through that agent.
No, now what we talked about was if you don't have an agent, just call the listing agent first.
Okay, because that's what I was getting at. I was like, okay, if I call that listing agent Monday and then call them again Tuesday and then again Wednesday,
no,
you know, et cetera, they're going to get a little tired of hearing from me.
You're right. So you need to have an assistant put your bids through your buyer's agent. You don't even have to talk to the listing agent.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
If you're calling an REO property, just a regular bank home property or MLS listed property, if you don't have a buyer's agent, you can just call the listing agent.
Yeah, right. That's a little different ball game there.
That's right. But the other ones are submitted online. So all you need to do is just have your assistant submit your bids at HUDHomestore.com through your buyer's agent's NAID number.
Okay, yeah. Once she hears from me about four or five times in a row, she's going to say, okay, here's that number.
That's right. That's right. She's going to be like, yeah, I mean, you know, you could say at that point, hey, would you like for me to hire you an assistant to do this for us?
Right, you still get all the commissions coming from it and everything.
There's your sign right there.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
That's it.
Well, that helps a lot. I was a little confused about that as well.
Yeah, that's okay. You got it now.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Okay, dope.
Hey, anybody else got a question?
Larry, this is Linda Smith again.
Hey, Linda, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I've got a question. When you were talking with one of the previous members of the inner circle, I have a question on when you go online to courthouse to find and try to find out who the mortgage holder is. I don't know exactly where to go. I mean, I know how to get on the county's line and look at taxes and things, but where do you go? What shows the mortgage holder?
It'll be at the Register of Deeds.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at the Register of Deeds, you do a search for property owners.
Uh-huh.
And then when you do a search for property owners, you're going to find properties that entity owns.
Yeah.
And then it's going to also have a copy of a mortgage or a deed of trust.
Okay.
And on that mortgage or deed of trust will list who the lender is.
Oh, okay. All right. So I should be able to pull all that up through the Register of Deeds. I've done some of that, but
absolutely, not, you can.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you. One more question.
Sure.
Can you kind of give me an example of, okay, if I'm using a private lender, say I made an offer on, and we have a contract on a house and I need private money to purchase that within, I mean, is it realistic to think I can get it in 10 to 15 days and close for cash? I mean, is that...
Are you saying if you have your private lender already lined up?
Well, yes. I mean, okay, you're going to have some private lenders lined up. You're going to find out what they're interested in and what kind of money they're interested in. So if you already have someone and you know what they want and you think, and this property is what you've been looking for them to fund.
Right.
I don't really understand how I'm going to make money if I can't do owner financing on that, right?
Yeah, sure you can.
Okay. How am I going to make money if I'm borrowing private money to pay off that house turn around and sell it for seller financing?
Yeah, well, you could do one of a couple things. You can, in fact, this is another good idea right here. Your private money lender,
uh-huh.
they may want to buy that note from you as well.
Yeah.
So they may want to just buy the note. So you could use them to fund your deal. And then when you sell the property with owner financing, they may just buy that note or just stay in that deal and you assign the note to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you could do is you could sell it on a land contract and then sell the land contract and pay off your private lender.
Okay.
Because with land contracts, you could have an underlying mortgage.
Oh, okay. Is that that's not like a subject too, is it?
No, it's like a contract for deed.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and it's just another form of ownership where the buyer signs a document called a contract for deed or a land contract,
mm-hmm.
and it's some people call it an all-inclusive trust deed, but it's basically an agreement that spells out all the terms and basically says that if you make all your payments on time, at the end of the term, we will deed you the property.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I sell most of mine on right now is land contract.
Okay. Well, I know you've covered that on one of the CDs because I've listened to it. I had forgotten about that. So the important thing there, and I guess it always is how you structure your deal and what you pay for the property.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
It's all based on what you paid.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, John Jackson, Baltimore.
Hey.
Hi. One question. HUD, proof of funds, how does that work with HUD?
HUD doesn't care about your proof of funds. It's just the realtor that cares about it.
So it's whatever the realtor
requires. That's right. Whatever the realtor is going to require.
Okay.
Of you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some really good questions tonight. Really good stuff. Everybody got a lot of stuff going on. That's awesome.
Got one more question for you.
Sure.
I know you said that they put the offer in digitally, of course. Is that something that you would recommend that I go sit down with my agent and just watch her make an offer? Because otherwise, if I'm having to teach a VA how to do that, I have no clue.
No, it's okay. When you hire a VA, you're going to hire one that probably already has experience doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not any different than, like, running an ad on Craigslist or something. Even if your VA hasn't done it before, all you got to do is give them the login information and show them how to determine how much you want to offer, and then they'll just log in and start making the offers.
Okay. One other question. How does that VA see the same thing on my screen, the same thing on his screen as what's on my screen, like the initial offer or whatever?
How do they see the same thing on your screen?
Yeah, in other words, we could be looking at the same thing. I could make an adjustment, and he could see it pretty much, quick time or whatever you would call it.
Are you talking about like on the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the way Google Docs works.
Google Docs.
In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to put that spreadsheet on Google Docs, and then you're going to share that spreadsheet with them. So you and them both could log into that at the same time.
Yeah.
And say if you opened it up and you changed a number in a field, it will change it on their computer almost at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I wasn't quite sure how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you taught all this stuff, man, but it just don't stick.
I hear you, man. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's a lot to take in.
Yes, it is. Enthused, though. I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
There you go. Let's do it.
I hear you.
That's good.
Now, you have these every couple of weeks, right?
Have what?
These little seminar things here.
These calls?
Telephone. Yeah, the calls.
Yeah, it's always the second and the fourth Monday of every month.
Second and the fourth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I wrote that on the board at the office.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did.
Yeah, but I know it's a lot to remember.
Actually, I remembered that. I was just kind of making sure.
Oh, okay, cool. Good.
Yeah, because I didn't get in here. I was like, we were out to dinner, actually, and I'm like, man, I got to get on that phone.
That's good. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
I have a quick question, Mr. Steve.
I'm sorry?
I'm really computer challenged, and it seems like we're supposed to do everything through the computer. Do you have any suggestions or I can find somebody next time?
As far as, and I think you're cutting out a little bit or it's very faint, but I think you said you have some computer challenges. Is there any suggestions I have for someone who's computer challenged? Is that what you said? Hello? Can you hear me? Are you there? Well, maybe not. Anybody else have a question?
Well, Larry, I'll ask you another question since nobody's on.
All right.
Yeah. Would it make sense for me to – actually, I was going to network our computers, but I'm just thinking now that with the Google Docs rather than me networking, I guess like my son, you know, he's doing this with me. I'm wondering if we just go to the Google Docs and just do it that way versus network.
Yeah, what's the advantage of networking?
maybe that's old school. That's the only way I kind of knew how to do it.
Yeah, well, that's like for storage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Google Docs gives you plenty of storage. You don't have to worry about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad I got on this phone call tonight.
You learned a lot, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Or at least got refreshed a lot.
Yeah, refreshed it, right. That's exactly right, because you definitely went over it.
That's all right. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. That's good. Well, good. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, ladies, I'm in Houston.
Hey.
Listen, you were talking earlier about the rent comps and also ARV comps.
Right.
I'm looking at properties on HUD. A lot of them are semi-rural or rural, and I'm having a hard time finding any, any rent comps even, much less sales comps. The few sales comps I find, they're different types of properties.
Are you talking about online comps?
Yeah.
Okay, then call a realtor or property manager and they'll tell you.
Yeah, well, I was even looking at a couple of properties with a realtor I met with the other day. He's going to make some offers with me to start out with. And he was looking for comps on a couple of properties I'm going to have him offer on for me. And he couldn't find anything off the MLS either.
Okay.
You know much, and when I look at it on, when you look on the map, there is other properties around. And what I was wondering, would I want to call the listing agent on that HUD property that they might have that information?
You could call the listing agent.
Even though I'm working with the buyer's agent, and he's going to work. He's going to submit the offer. Just go ahead and call that agent and say, hey, I've got my agent submitting the offer for me, but I need a little bit of information. Just get it from that. And how reliable is that info from
that? There's nothing wrong with calling up the listing agent and saying, hey, I'm getting ready to submit a bid on one of your listings. I've got a buyer's agent, but, I figured I would just give you a call direct and ask you a question. My agent's okay with it as long as you are.
Yeah, and my other question was about the proof of funds also. That's just something the listing agent would ask for up front, because I've been asked that. I've called, to make an offer, just called the listing agent before I talked to this realtor, my buyer's realtor. And he was saying that in the contract itself, they do ask for a proof of funds letter. But you don't need one. You don't need one just to make an offer.
Are you talking about HUD?
Yeah, HUD.
That is correct. You do not.
But then you do need one if they accept your offer, and then you're going to fill out the contract.
Say that again?
You do need a proof of funds letter. Say they accept your offer, and you're going to, take the next step, fill out the sales contract.
Right.
Because you deposit down.
Put everything in.
And then he was saying that on that, HUD does ask for a proof of funds letter then.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So my question is, you don't need a proof of funds letter, especially if I have my agent
submitting
the offer. So you won't need the proof of funds until you take the next step, after they accept your offer and you fill out the paperwork.
Correct.
Okay. I got you.
Good.
All right, great. Thanks. That answers it.
Excellent. No problem at all. I got another question that came in here from Monica on the email. How can I find private money when I'm investing in another state and I can't go to the courthouse to look up somebody's transaction? Well, the good news is, Monica, you don't have to go to the courthouse typically on any of them because they're all online. They're all online. So you just go and look up the register of deeds for that courthouse, and you can pull up those documents online. Just about every courthouse in the country is online at this point. So another question she had was, why would you need two monitors? Almost everybody in our office uses two monitors just so you can have one pulled up with a spreadsheet that they're working on and another one pulled up for analyzing properties and you know, browsing or email or whatever. It's just another workspace to be able to have. So most of our people, in fact, all of our people, I think, do use two monitors as opposed to one. So there you have it. Let's see here. Anybody else have any question?
Larry, this is Linda Smith again.
Hey.
Hi. I'm assuming you'll cut us off if we ask too many questions.
No. We'll stay as long as you need.
Okay. My question is there ever any condition that might exist to prevent me from amending the contract with the three clauses that we have? Say if it says you must accept queries as is and no inspection, does that mean that you can't add those three clauses to the contract? Or,
well, the time that you add the clauses to the contract are when they send you the contract to sign it. You're not going to be able to sign it and then add it later.
Yeah.
So whenever they send you the contract, that's when you'll add them. And quite frankly, you're not going to tell the people up front that. But one of the things that we noticed is, and we're buying a lot of filthy riches type houses, but higher priced. Not as many $5,000 houses, but we're buying a lot of $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 houses. And we just typically use the regular 15-day inspection period in that, because that's what they're used to, especially on that price of a property. Now, if it was a $5,000 house, we would probably just do the subject to a pictures and all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So, but are you are you still closing with all cash? Is that what you're doing?
And when we're buying it?
Yeah, when you're buying it.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, so if you buy a house, say $40,000, or that was not 40%, right? It was $40,000.
$40,000, yeah.
Okay. How do you determine the good asking price when you're going to sell it? I mean, just when you're going to...
How do we determine the asking price?
Yeah, when you find a buyer, okay, when you're going to sell that to as seller financing to someone,
right?
How do you, I know with the analyzer, you know, we've got $30,000 in there for, just as an example, but how do you know what number to put as the price that you're going to accept from that buyer?
When I sell or finance it?
Yes.
Yeah, on the higher priced houses.
Uh huh.
My rule of thumb is 2 times plus $10,000 minimum.
Plus 10. 2 times what you pay for it?
Plus 10. 10.
Okay, all right.
So if I paid 40 for it, how much am I going to sell it for?
You're going to sell it for 90.
$89,900. Right. If I buy it for 25, I'm going to sell it for $59,900.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
But then, are you still accepting a small down payment of $1,000 or as much as they?
No, I'm usually on those houses. I'm typically getting about $5,000 down.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I try to get 5 to 10% down.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps. I was wondering about that. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hello, Larry.
Hey.
This is Dahlia.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, could be better, but hey, I'm here.
There you go. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Did you get my email?
Which one?
Oh, my dear. The house in Greenville.
I'm sorry, the what?
The house in South Carolina.
The house in South Carolina. I don't think so. When did you send it to me?
I sent that being at least 5 hours ago.
5 hours. House in South Carolina. No, I didn't get an email.
In Greenville.
In where?
Green Valley.
Green Valley.
Greenville, or I say Valley, they say Ville, no, Greenville.
I did not get it.
Wow. Oh, no. Oh, well, I have a situation. I have a house in contract with, and I am stuck without a private lender or funds, and the house is going to be closed between the 21st to the 24th.
Of this month?
Yes.
When did you get it under contract?
Oh, I got, well, it's not even a month ago, but my agent said that they're going to close on the 21st. It's one of, you know, I think it's too early. It's after 30 days that I'm supposed to.
Right. Have you been trying to find the money for the last
month? I look all over.
And what have
you
done?
The hard money, it wasn't apartment. The private lender never answered my calls. And there is some other programs out there, and the money, it could not be available and be in less than 3 weeks. So I was relying on this party to go through with the loan, but they, at the last minute, they require a partner, and I do not have one. And I cannot lose that money. I cannot lose the house. It's my first deal, and I need help ASAP. So do you have any suggestions?
Yes, I do. The house is in Greenville, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you need to log in. You need to go to Greenville's Register a Deed website and find out who the private money lenders are there.
Okay, hold on a second. I have to write this down because...
Okay, were you on the call earlier when I was talking about that?
No, I just got on the call. I am in Alaska, so I lost the time. I didn't know if it would be in my time or your time.
Oh, yeah, it's 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yep. So
yeah. What are you, like, three or four hours
behind?
I lost
some of the time.
Yeah, you're like 3 hours behind, right?
Four.
Okay. Now you're four, right? Because of daylight.
Oh, yeah. No, mine may be three. I don't know. Do you change clockwise?
We do. It's 10:30 here almost.
Oh, over here 6:30 almost.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah. It's been something. My stomach is just not doing well with this.
Didn't you have some private lenders you were talking to about funding your deal?
No private lenders. You know, they say it's private lender. At the end, it's hard money and it required 25%, 20, and I don't have the cash.
I'm with you.
Okay, the house is in contract for 84, and the comps that I got and my realtor got is, if I sell it, is about 135 to 165.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I cannot lose that deal.
And
it's a hard home. I don't know if they're going to give me extension, how much they're going to charge me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I am in a whole nine yard. I know that tonight I won't sleep good.
Yeah. Well, I want you to email me that deal and let me take a look at it, okay?
Okay. It's a good house. It's 2,800 square footage.
What are you going to do with it?
It's three bedroom, two and a half bath.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, Nathan is my mentor.
Right, but what are you going to do with the house?
Well, anything that is bring me some money.
That's great. Okay, so email me the details about the house. What was the house listed for?
484. No, it was 883. But it was so many people once this house, because the Greenville market is blooming, and I paid 83,199.
83.
I mean, I paid, no, it's there, yes, still.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I need some ASAP.
Well, so, yeah, send that deal over and let me take a look at it, okay?
Okay.
Has Nathan looked at it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And
yes,
what did he say?
Well, he said it's a good house, you know, and even if I sell for $125, I'm still going to make money.
How much work does it need?
What do you mean?
How much repairs?
Well, they need, you know, I got the inspection, and before the inspection, I thought was just the laundry room that I have to change the floor and make some paints in there.
Uh-huh.
And after the inspection, there is a leak on the roof that can be fixed. It is not big.
And once the work is done, how much will it be worth?
I don't know. I can sell it for $135 to $165 on the retail.
Oh, okay. If that's all the work it needs, why are they asking $84?
No, that was the bid.
Oh, well, what were they asking?
$88.3.
Okay.
$83, and I paid $80. I mean, I didn't pay during the year. I paid $83,199.
Uh-huh. And they're asking $88?
No.
Oh.
It's $83. It's $83,199.
That's how
That's
much you're
what
paying.
I need.
That's how much you're paying?
Yes.
How much are they asking? What is it listed for?
Was listed for $83.
So you're paying over list.
Because, yeah, I would not get to the house.
Okay. And it's in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you. Well, send it over and let me take a look at it. Have you tried to get a loan from Carolina Hard Money?
No. That they asked 25%. I don't have that money. Any hard lender, I don't know, you know.
No, they don't ask for 25%, but just send it over to me and let me take a look at it, okay?
All right.
I'll take a look at it.
Yep, well, I need help somehow, you know.
Okay. Well, here's another thing you can do is
mm-hmm.
even if you don't know any private lenders in Greenville, Greenville is a very big city. So you go
okay.
to the Register of Deeds in Greenville, South Carolina, and you do a search for Equity Trust. And
wow.
those are people.
I got to have an email with you because I don't have a pen with me right now.
Okay. Shoot me an email and ask me how to get funding there, and I'll write you a detailed email, okay?
Oh, I appreciate it.
You're
yes.
very welcome. Good. I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah, it will.
Okay, good. I've got a question here submitted by Sarah, if she's still on. It says, I have checked the list sales price actual ratios for HUD properties in Texas, and in my area, HUD is not coming off the list price very much. So how does this work in Texas? Is it feasible to get great deals from HUD right now in Texas? The HUD deals are in small towns, and Nathan said to stay within a tight radius of 40 miles around San Antonio. 40 miles is a general rule. If you need to go outside further, because San Antonio is a pretty big area, if you need to go outside 40 miles, that's okay. And you can tell Nathan I said so. It's all right. We are buying most of our properties outside of the small town or outside of the big cities. In the small towns, that are not in the huge MSAs. So if you need to go out to some of those, that's okay, and that's not a problem at all. And if you need to do that, but also here's another thing. Just like the call or the property that Dahlia mentioned just a minute ago about, it's listed for 83 and she paid 83,199. We bought a HUD house not too long ago that was listed for 44 and we paid 45,600 for it. So just because they're not coming off of list price very much doesn't always mean that it's not a good deal at list price. So just keep that in mind and running your numbers too. So I hope that helps, Sarah. So does anybody else have a question that you would like to get answered?
Hey, Larry, this is Steve. I've got one other question if I could ask it.
Sure.
I'm looking at a house. Actually, I just received an email, and I was looking at the house and looking at the pictures. And double wide on a dirt road, does that bother you?
No. Yes, it does bother me. I don't buy anything on dirt roads.
Nothing on dirt roads?
No, not unless it's just a short driveway.
Yeah, because this is it's kind of a sweet-looking property. It's got some nice curb appeal, but also it looks like they have built onto the back of it what almost looks like a...
No, don't even do that.
Don't even mess with it.
No, just move on. I don't buy anything that looks like it's been added onto or cobbled together or, you know, a weekend warrior's been putting on a room addition or something, or anything on a dirt road.
Okay. Yeah, I think the weekend warrior was definitely out here.
I hear you. That's good.
Hey, it was close to the beach. I thought I might get it for myself.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay, well, that was it.
All right, good. Well, I hope that helped.
Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Well, you guys have had a lot of good questions tonight.
I'm sorry I missed it.
I know. Me too.
Yep.
That's okay. We'll get you fixed up.
Oh, yes, Larry. I'm gonna send you an email, and you're going to like this house.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, anybody have any more questions?
Larry, this is Linda again. Just one short.
Sure.
Okay. Since my coach, Nathan, suggested that I do this, I wanted to ask you how the other members have been handling it. He suggested that I ask you to put my name and number out so the list could get it, or is that what other people are doing?
To put your name and number out for what? I'm a little confused.
Just among the members, the inner circle members, so people can contact each other. But is that something you guys have been doing, or?
Well, we haven't. But if you want to, you know, I mean, just about everybody's hung up by now. But
yeah, okay.
If you would like, you're welcome to give out your name and number. That's, you know, that's something you could do. It's entirely up to you. But you guys are responsible for, you know, any deals that you get involved in.
Yeah. Well. Okay, well, I'll wait on that and just talk to Nathan again about it. I just didn't know if that was kind of a routine thing that everybody did. I some of the names I couldn't even hear because I didn't get a good reception or something. But I'll learn more people as we go along.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times there's different people on every week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot. Anybody else have a question?
I am on the line still. I don't know if people is going to come in or what.
Yeah, hey, Larry, I just wanted to tell you, you know, we appreciate you, all your answers here with our questions.
Oh, it's not a problem at all. It's my pleasure. I enjoy doing it, hearing a lot of people that has a lot of stuff going on. That's great.
Cool.
That is good. But thanks a lot, Steve. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And this is Steve signing off for tonight.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All
bye-bye.
Right, later.
Well, this is Linda. I just wanted to ditto that. I really appreciate all the time and information you've given us. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. Anybody else have a question?
I am sending you an email, Larry. I would like you please take a look at it.
I sure will.
Okay. It will be there in a short.
Sounds good. I'll take a look at it. Sounds good. Well, anybody have any more questions before we sign off?
So what time you have in there, Larry?
What time do I have?
It's 10:30.
It's 10:37.
Okay. So, and your calls are, that's my first time listening to you.
Most of the calls are less than an hour. This one's gone, you know, going on 2 hours, but most of them are less than an hour. This is probably the longest one we've had in a long time.
Okay. Are you going to see this email right now, or are you going to...
Well, my phone is almost dead, and I might see it, you know, whenever I get to my computer, if I get to my computer tonight. But yeah, I'll either see it tonight or in the morning.
Okay, yeah. So you got to take the 100 pounds in each shoulder that I have.
I will do the best I can.
Quick question from Sarah about the manufactured home offers. Nathan said for us to offer 20% to 25% of list price.
Yeah, well, it does kind of depend on the actual, you know, the actual list price of it or whatever. But,
right. But
yeah, that's a good starting point.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I read that. And he didn't want us to get anything that needed carpeting or flooring. But some of these small towns, I mean, I shouldn't argue with him. He's the expert. But they make do. I bought one that didn't have an AC, and they just threw window units in. It was such a cheap deal. I don't know if he's got other plans for
us.
What
did you pay for it? What did you sell it for?
We bought one for 22 cash last year, and I sold it for 35 and carried the note on it, but I probably should have gotten 45. It was originally listed it had at 45.
Yeah, okay.
So we had it 2 weeks. Our system failed because we didn't have a buyer lined up. That's really a challenge I think we've got. Right.
Yeah, we don't typically have a buyer lined up for ours until we get it under contract, and then we start marketing it to sell it.
That's what I understand. We didn't do that. That was our time delay.
Okay.
I didn't know how private investors would do on manufactured homes. Are they okay with those?
Investors? What do you mean?
Well, private investors, private money so we don't have to do our own money on these.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't use private money, but I wouldn't think it would be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't either, but I want to figure out how to do this with other people's money. That's all. I just didn't know how they feel about manufactured homes.
Yeah. I don't think it would be a problem.
I don't either, not with that type of yield or return. But, hey, thanks. It was a great call tonight.
Good. I really appreciate that. Thanks for saying that.
Larry,
yes.
Do you think when you see the house, so could you give me input if it will be – I have your filter rich, too. So just take a look at it and then see if there will be something that I could put on eBay.
Okay. I will take a look.
Yeah, I'll wait for your call or for your mail tomorrow.
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. Do you know anything about extension with the Hodge home?
Yeah, sometimes you can get an extension. You have to pay for it, though.
Oh, okay.
So your realtor can do that for you.
Well, I didn't want to spook my realtor because she had such a big amount of work on this deal because hot home, I don't know. Sometimes they have good price, but it's a lot of work.
Right.
And I don't want to spook her and right now, but I have to do that in order to, you know, to get this house and get the finances in place. I just didn't do that yet because I know she's going to just be alarmed. And I said, whoa, you effed all day. You don't have the money. You know, I'm kind of like a little concerned. But I know I have to do that. I have to talk to her and say that, you know, that things fall through and I need an extension.
Right.
But the extension, I don't have to pay daily. Is that right?
No, they're going to charge you like it might be $150 or something for a 15-day extension.
15 days? Wow, gosh,
yeah,
we got to work.
Something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, also I thought there was depend of the amount of the house, the price.
It kind of depends. Yeah, they have different amounts for different extensions.
Okay. Well, I just send you an email. And,
okay, I'll take a look at it here in just a little bit.
All right. Hey, sounds good.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I just was at the end of the call, but hey, I caught you.
Better late than never.
Yes, that's
good.
True.
Good. Well, I'll check
all
it
right.
out and get back to you. I hope you have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Anybody else have a question before we go? All right. Well, it's been a great call. If we got anybody left on, hope you guys have an awesome night.
All right. Good night, Larry.
Thank you very much. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry. Good night.
Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
All right. You too, Larry. Have a good night. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.